Time for us to pay a visit to State Senator Jesse Green. Jesse, of course, gives us a little update on what's been going on with the legislature. And, Senator, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit about this week, what's been going on with the legislature. Now, we went through the funnel. You kind of slow, very busy that week before the funnel, then the funnel week, and it was kind of slow. And now we're getting right down to a lot of the nuts and bolts of putting things together.
Yeah, so this week in the Senate, I think we ran out a little over 30 bills. Most of them were non-controversial. But behind the scenes, it sounds like we're starting to break through the logjam on the AEA conversation and progress on that issue and start to try to see if there's any compromise that can be made between the House and the Senate and the governor. And so that was exciting to see. That issue has taken up so much time, and rightly so. It's such a sensitive topic. But all throughout session, I would say that's taken up probably half the air out of the room and most of the conversations, and it's really slowed down some of the other educational policy issues. So it'll be really refreshing to see something come together here soon. But there was definitely some back and forth on that AEA this week, which was probably the highlight of the week.
So can you tell listeners, give them a little summary about what the Senate version was? Because you guys, once you moved it out, now we've got everything out on the table there for people to start talking about.
Yeah, so the long story short, the Senate was kind of in between the House and the governor as far as our proposal. The House, for their initial proposal, what they were able to pass, I believe, with 53 votes, so just they barely had enough, which was a task force. And that all the special education funding would go directly to the AEA like it currently is, and that the schools would be mandated to use those special education services. But where they added a fee for service was on the other issues, the other services that AEA provides, such as media services and professional services, development services, and stuff like that. So the Senate was somewhere in the middle where we had a floor set in place to where no matter what happens, the majority of the special education dollars and all the AEA dollars would go to the school district, and then the school district could decide for themselves if they want to stay with the AEA or go to a different service. And the whole intention of that is to create more transparency so that we know what the cost of those services are. For example, we're the only state in the United States that funds special education the way that we do. And so on the surface, you would think, well, if we're the only state to do it this way, then, we should see a huge difference between the numbers of Iowa and other states. And at the end of the day, it appears that we're getting maybe average services as far as the testing results and at a little bit higher than average price. And so that's what's driving this conversation and this reform. And so the one thing, common denominator with all the proposals that have been laid out is teacher salary. And when you poll the public, it polls around 70% that the public believe that the starting teacher pay needs to go up. And so the one difference between the House and the Senate in that regard is the Senate has a two-tier a teacher salary increase, which is it'd be about a $50,000 minimum for starting teachers, and then a minimum of $62,000 for teachers that have been teaching for 12 years. And so the benefit of that is that it doesn't create a compaction for salaries. So let's say you bump up these new teachers up to $50,000. There could be a lot of penny pension for the schools to figure out, well, we got to pay the other teachers more, so to create a fairness in the system. And so with our two-tier approach, it would kind of help alleviate those concerns, especially from small rural districts. And I'm really happy about that because that we're tackling the teacher salary because when you're looking at all the education dollars, you are limited on how many dollars you can spend. And so when you're looking at it from a rural versus urban situation, the more that you can do for like transportation equity or teacher salary, obviously teachers that are in rural districts probably don't make as much as those that are in urban districts. So you're pushing more educational dollars out to those rural districts. And that's what I really like about that idea it's kind of thinking more outside the box rather than just focusing on state supplemental aid. If all we did was fund education through state supplemental aid, that would have a big more of a positive impact for urban districts rather than rural.
And an opportunity, having more pay, guaranteed more pay, obviously, and without getting into all of the nuts and bolts of those that have had so much experience and, you know, have that time in as a teacher. But will this serve as an opportunity, do you feel, to attract more people into education? Because over the years, I've seen, you know, where we used to have for elementary teachers, you'd probably have 25, 35 applying for a position, and now you're down to maybe 5 or 10 or 15 even.
Yeah, certainly. If we pass this minimum teacher salary, we would be definitely in the top 10. And if I remember right, I think we would actually be in the top 5 for starting teacher pay. It would at least put us in one of the top in the Midwest. And so certainly that would attract more teachers to state. We got a more favorable tax climate than our neighbors to the north and east. So we're already seeing some net migration into the state due to that. And so I think it's positive all the way around in the long term to get more teachers here. But certainly when I look at that poll, that 70% of voters desire this, I think that poll needs to be looked at very closely, and we need to pay attention to what the voters want with that.
You had said you were going to be spending a lot of time on the education thing. So anything else come out of education that that you were looking at?
Well, for this week, not necessarily. There's definitely a change within the community college formula, but that change was brought to us by all the community college presidents. They agreed to it. So that's why we are going ahead with that. But that wasn't any earth-shattering thing. Also, one of the bills that I ran out of Education Committee here within the past week is going to help career counselors that we defined here a few years ago, that position. It would allow school districts to use operational sharing dollars for career counselors that would help juniors and seniors get a better grip of what colleges they should be looking at, what the cost of education is going to be, you know, what their debt load could possibly be, and maybe what career path that they should go down. So I was really proud to be able to floor manage that. I think it's common sense legislation. And that's usually those career counselors are a combination paid by the community colleges as well as the high schools. So to allow that, I think, is a really huge positive for our rural districts especially. So out of education, I'd say that was mostly it. Okay. About a week ago, the headline issue was how many bills died within education in the Senate. The House sent over a lot of bills within the last couple weeks, and they were heavy topic bills. We're talking about curriculum and social studies and DEI and our regional universities, and those are one of the bills that came to me also was homeschool rules reform. So to just look at those big bills with a week deadline before second funnel, that was really virtually almost next to impossible. Yeah. So there's a lot of bills that died with that. And so there's probably some irritated House members with that. But on the flip side, I had a couple bills that died in the House during that time crunch as well. So it all goes around.
You can only do so much. You only have so much time to be working on it. And, you know, and on a, like you said, some of those are pretty heavy bills. There's a lot in there. And, you know, do we want to go forward with this? Is this something that should start earlier and we have more time to work on it?
Well, and there's a huge difference in philosophy between the House and the Senate. I mean, one of the earliest pushers for school choice was the Senate. We always thought that you allow parents the choice in education, that's going to kind of sort out all the other issues. If there's one school is more heavy in curriculum for social studies versus another, go choose that school or whatever. And so whereas the House seems a little bit more intent on prescribing curriculum and stuff like that, putting that in Iowa code, there's just a difference in philosophy there. Not that anybody is 100% wrong, but it's interesting how the two chambers think a little bit differently in that regard. But there's quite a few other high-profile bills this week, a constitutional amendment on taxes.
I was going to say the flat tax proposal coming out to be to go do a constitutional vote on that.
Yeah. So if we vote those out this year, we would have to vote on them again next year, and then it would be on the ballot for 2026. But I think both chambers are in agreement that this needs to be done. You look across the country, there's also blue states. I think Illinois has a single rate flat tax, and it polls really well with the public. And so I think originally we were going to lump the two issues together, that it would take a two-thirds majority of the legislature to raise the income tax as well as put this flat tax into the Constitution. But I think it would be a lot more interesting to split those two issues out and see how the voters vote on one or the other in 2026.
I noticed that one of your concerns when the session was starting, and we touched on this before, you I know they talked about eliminating the income tax. You said, let's not go too fast. I mean, that was the big thing. You didn't want to go too fast on this because there could be unintended consequences.
Well, certainly. I mean, when you're talking our rundown on education, if we do what we were thinking about doing with the compromise bill with the House, if we go to a 2.5% SSA increase and this minimum teacher salary and go this route, and then also with the education savings account, we're talking about maybe close to a 5% increase overall when you look at the spending that we put into education. And those are a lot of dollars. And so if we're going to go down this route of this big of increase in education, that might slow this conversation down on the how quick we can eliminate the income tax. But regardless, when you look at the REC revenue estimates that came here a week ago, you see that our revenues continue to grow despite our tax cuts that have taken place. And so that just shows our economy is strong. We're at 3% unemployment, 67% labor participation rate. As long as we have these kinds of numbers, I think the governor is right that we could probably go to 3.9 flat tax maybe next year and then start ratcheting it down.
Yeah, you had anticipated. We knew revenues would see a slight slowdown, and that's basically what the last revenue estimating conference had. So, and still, you have more dollars that you were looking at than what the governor was looking at back in December. So, again, you're still in a pretty solid position there.
Yeah, for fiscal year 25, I believe it's a $60 million increase from the March revenue estimate versus the December. So that means our budgets are going to have to go off that December estimate, which is the lower of the two. I think that's absolutely remarkable how close they can get those numbers. But you can tell that they do lean on the conservative side, which encourages us to spend less. But that difference between the estimated and the actual, whatever that number is, goes into the taxpayer relief fund, which, of course, goes to the elimination of the income tax. So, no, we're in good hands, and I'm grateful for our revenue estimating committee. They every single time I've seen their numbers come out, they've either been close on target or an increase.
Well, one of the things, of course, that and we touched on, and I even asked you during the omelet breakfast, which, by the way, folks, 4 years ago, he shows up at this omelet breakfast and says, "My name's Jesse Green. I'm going to run for state senator."
Well, yeah, that I'll never forget that moment when I first met you. I'm still a snot-nosed kid, but I was nervous as heck, and but I knew I had to get out there and ask for people's votes, and I can't believe it was 4 years ago. And so it was a real pleasure to be back there again this morning and see you there, and brought back some good memories and met a lot of constituents this morning.
And he was cooking this time, too. So
yeah, I still struggle making a good llama, but I'm giving it a try.
Well, I tell you, and of course, at that time, there was the primary that was coming up because Senator Bain had just decided he was retiring and stepping down. And you had a number of candidates, a number of you were on the ballot. Primary this time around, you're unopposed. So, you know, you'll be able to get through that and then head right for the general election. So.
Yeah, I love this process. I love our system of government. It keeps us accountable to the people, always thinking about the people and making sure that we have our ear to the ground as to what the concerns are. And I hope I was proud to see that I didn't have a primary. That means my Republican side is pleased, and I hope everybody else knows that I'll at least listen and that I'm working hard, and I can honestly say I've given 110%, and it's just been an honor of a lifetime, and it's helped me grow in so many different ways, and it's kind of hard to explain the experience, but it's truly incredible.
Well, I do know that we do know there are some days left. You guys would like to get done in a reasonable fashion. Are you feeling pretty comfortable about this?
Well, since I've been in office, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but we've always gone overtime, and I don't think that's just because I was there. But I do think that there's a little bit different feel here this session. We're, like you said, a few weeks away. I don't see any reason why we can't get out on time. And already budget talks are happening. I think things are going pretty smooth, and I think people are ready to come back home and start campaigning.
All righty. Thanks for taking time visiting with us. I appreciate it. Got other things that we could talk about, but would be here all day. So we'll look forward to visiting with you again next opportunity, okay?
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you.